Well, increasingly, we're finding that consumers trust other consumers more than they trust advertisers. And in fact, I think there's a growing amount of distrust and frustration with, marketer intrusion, interruptive advertising, intrusive advertising, invasive advertising, and there's just a whole media fragmentation taking place. And, you know, what consumers come to rely upon the most is recommendations and content from other consumers. So, and insofar as the CGM space is exploding and creating a lot of publicly available data, clearly that is factoring into the buying cycle.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
This is Jennifer Jones, and I am here today with Pete Blackshaw, who's Chief Marketing Officer of Nielsen Buzzmetrics. And Nielsen Buzzmetrics is the business leader that's really creating a new global measurement standard for consumer-generated media. And this is things such as blogs and online forums, and he'll go in a lot more detail with us today. So first of all, Pete, let me welcome you to Marketing Voices.
Thank you for inviting me. Very excited.
Oh, good. Well, I mentioned some of the consumer-generated media you measure. Can you give the audience an idea of what other things you actually measure?
Well, it's the full breadth of CGM, consumer-generated media, and the definition continues to expand as new forms of consumer expression evolve. But there are obviously many, many different types of blogs. There's consumer blogs, media blogs, marketer blogs. You've got message boards, forums, and communities. You've got ratings and review sites, clubs and groups. And we even consider direct company feedback a form of consumer-generated media insofar as it really reflects, unaided consumer expression. But essentially what we're trying to do is put a meter on the consumer voice to translate that data into actionable learnings and insights for companies that are, you know, looking to gain competitive advantage. And we, are working with, mainly, Fortune 1000 companies, but I think the learnings from the data that we collect apply to all businesses, large and small.
So why is it so important for marketers to measure consumer-generated media?
Well, increasingly, we're finding that consumers trust other consumers more than they trust advertisers. And in fact, I think there's a growing amount of distrust and frustration with, marketer intrusion, interruptive advertising, intrusive advertising, invasive advertising, and there's just a whole media fragmentation taking place. And, you know, what consumers come to rely upon the most is recommendations and content from other consumers. So, and insofar as the CGM space is exploding and creating a lot of publicly available data, clearly that is factoring into the buying cycle. So in some categories such as auto, electronics, healthcare, even in some consumer packaged goods categories, the vast majority of buyers are being intercepted at some point in the purchase cycle by consumer-generated media, and that obviously has a direct impact on the bottom line. It can impact trial awareness, purchase of new products. So a very, very important development, and more marketers are hypersensitive to how buying behavior is being shaped. The other thing I would add is that more and more external influencers, and by that I mean lawyers, insurance companies, regulators, media writers, financial analysts, are dipping into CGM as a first point of reference on brand reputation, brand equity, and the like. And consumers are highly revealing about their relevant experiences with products and services. So in some respects, consumers are volunteering a very powerful tip sheet as to whether products are doing well or not. And obviously, many of us can learn from that type of data.
Well, so how do you go about measuring this consumer-generated media? So it's interesting. Lawyers get into it, all of that. So where do you go to first get your data together?
Well, let me first take a step back. Nielsen Buzzmetrics is a roll-up of three companies in the space. One is IntelliSeek, that I was an early kind of co-founder of the company. And IntelliSeek was grounded in advanced text mining and search-based technology. The other part of the business is BuzzMetrics, which was one of our top competitors, and they, you know, had also kind of focused on monitoring, you know, consumer-generated media and online conversation. And then there's also an Israeli-based startup that was also specializing in advanced text analytics, known as Trendum. And so VNU or Nielsen rolled up all three. As part of this new company, Nielsen BuzzMetrics. But the core foundation in terms of how we do it is based on advanced text mining. So we're able to use text mining technology to basically make sense to harvest unstructured data across all these publicly available sources and to distill that and put it into various categories and help to interpret what is being said about a brand. And we can break it down into specific issues. We have some algorithms that can give a high confidence assessment of depth of emotion. Are they positive? Are they negative? We can look at competitive set. We can look at issues such as, you know, is the conversation highly viral? Is it dispersing to a broad number of sites and the like? And all of this is really critical data to provide brands with radar, if you will, in terms of how they're doing. But the back end is basically technology. Now, it's also technology alone doesn't do the entire trick. Clearly, you know, we're trying to hire smart people that can look at the data and help our clients determine what's going on here and what should I do next.
So you do have some what I call analysts as part of the whole process of actually determining what's being said, correct? It's not.
Yeah, there's a service layer that sits on top of this, and it's important to note that this is a relatively new space. So for a lot of our clients, there's a whole education and onboarding process to getting familiar with, CGM. So we'll do what we can to kind of help build CGM analytics into their overall business processes and really help them understand how to act upon it. And there's a lot of different ways that you can act on it, but you know, you do need to work with the clients on it. But yeah, there's a service or, you know, service overlay on top of the, you know, automated technology. Now, as we grow and scale our business, we'll be looking to do a lot of syndicated research, very consistent with a lot of the other Nielsen properties that have kind of, you'll look at a particular industry landscape and try to develop, you know, syndicated perspective. And I think that will really help us scale moving forward.
Well, so what kind of companies are actually implementing your service today? And then the second question of that is, you know, what kind of companies on a smaller scale, like, you know, startup companies in technology or something, can they actually implement it? So first, just focus on the large companies that are actually implementing it.
Well, we have chosen to, I mean, I think CGM impacts everyone, and I think to some extent everybody is beginning to engage in CGM. We have deliberately targeted, you know, Fortune 1000 companies, whether it's the, the Ford Motor Companies, the GMs, the P&Gs, the, you know, the HPs and the like. And I think that for a lot of these really big brands, just a huge amount is at stake in terms of how they're being positioned in the conversation. And as we all know, blogs in particular have had a very, very big impact on, you know, perceptions towards brands. So, you know, any brand where a significant amount of purchase behavior is being impacted by consumer perception is a category where we're doing a lot of business. We're working with 15 of the top 15, you know, healthcare companies now that are becoming, increasingly more attentive to, how their brands are perceived in the marketplace, especially around new product launch. And automobile industry is fascinating. You know, auto mavens and enthusiasts talk extensively, and they leave a very, very clear digital trail about their likes and dislikes about products, and that digital trail obviously recirculates to other consumers, especially through search. Search acts as a very targeted matchmaker between consumer experience and curious seekers. That's a big reason why Google has such a monster market cap. They've really figured out the essence of targeting advertisers with seekers, and the same thing's happening with CGM as well. So clearly the really big categories are impacted: electronics, auto, you know, entertainment, healthcare, but even some of the lower involvement areas, we're doing a decent amount of work in CPG. Now, the small business, you know, small businesses may be less likely to pay for a Nielsen Buzz Metrics service. We may be out of their price range. But increasingly, we're finding that whether it's through paid services like ours or even through some of the free tools that are out there, such as Technorati, or we have one called Blog Pulse, you know, we're finding more and more small businesses that are simply getting more adept at tracking their own conversation. And there's some limits to what you can do with the free tools, but for a lot of small businesses, it's good enough. I think that blogs are playing a huge role in establishing the credibility or non-credibility of small businesses. In fact, that's why a lot of small businesses are creating their own blogs. They want to be part of that conversation, and they want to be agile and flexible enough to respond to issues that, you know, rise up in the marketplace related to their brand.
So how much does this cost, really, when you talk about these large companies and the smaller companies can't really do it because it's not cost effective? What are we looking at in terms of dollars?
Yeah, well, to do this right, I mean, you know, for a lot of the big brands, it easily can move into the six figures depending on how many brands that they want to monitor. And what we'll typically do is sit down with the brand and say, okay, you know, what are the brands you want to monitor? What are the specific issues? Who within your competitive set do you want to include in that mix? Are there particular segments that you really want to focus on? One thing that we're going to get very, very good at moving forward is, you know, establishing a whole series of panels so you can look at your reputation vis-a-vis CGM through the lens of, you know, teens or through healthcare enthusiasts or through auto enthusiasts. So, you know, it really depends on how many of those you want to check off as part of your monitoring mix. So I think a combination of brand, issue, competitor, key segment, or cohort. In some cases, there may be particular sources that you really want to focus on. And then obviously there's an analyst level that layers on top of it that can impact, you know, how much the ultimate engagement might be. Now, it's not unusual for us to do a pilot that may be a more accessible price point to allow them to get their feet wet. Generally, I think that, very rarely do clients, you know, dabble in consumer expression and say, oh my gosh, we don't need to do this anymore. If anything, they're constantly surprised, sometimes shocked at what they find. And I think generally they conclude that, boy, it's better to look at the market with the eyes open as opposed to with blinders on. And I think that, you know, insofar as, you know, consumers are really bringing a whole new principle of transparency to the marketplace, companies are really jumping on board this area.
So how much does it cost? You sort of didn't get into that where you're saying the smaller companies, you can do kind of a pilot. So what kind of dollars would that pilot be?
Well, I was referring to, you know, bigger brands might do a pilot in the, $50,000 range, and that might look at a six-month pilot where we're, you know, analyzing the data, we're putting together reports, we're giving them access to a reporting tool, and then we're putting smart analysts on the account to help them interpret the data. But typically, I'd say we will push much higher because a lot of the brands have, you know, a handful of brands that they're tracking. I mean, ultimately, our goal is to do, you know, get to the enterprise level deal where we become baked into the business process, and we're starting to see some really good success with, you know, quite a few of our clients. And you know, they're viewing this not as this, you know, touchy feely ephemeral word of mouth monitoring exercise. They're looking at this as very, very central to the basic, business processes. We've got automobile manufacturers that are looking at this as the extension of Six Sigma thinking. This is a whole extension of total quality. You know, in the old paradigm, you'd focus on the J.D. Powers report or the surveys that would go to consumers. Well, the reality is that with or without marketer prompting, consumers are filling out surveys. It's just that they're directing them to other consumers. So that now is getting baked into the overall quality assessment. So we've got some companies where we may have upwards of 50 engineers that are analyzing the data on almost a daily basis, and they're kind of feeding that into their total quality thinking. Bank of America, for example, is one of our clients, and they're really obsessed with Six Sigma and, obviously leading their category. And so they're really looking at this as an extension of customer satisfaction thinking and the like.
So what's one of the examples, besides Bank of America, that you could give the listeners that in a short form, obviously we're just in a podcast, that shows how valuable this service has been?
Well, here's a really good example. I mean, there's just a ton of money that is spent, sometimes wasted, on new product launch. And there's so many uncertainties in terms of what's working and what's not in advertising, especially with the cloud that's over television and even some of the uncertainty about which online ad models work. So we will use CGM as a very, very powerful lens through which to evaluate a new product launch. In fact, that's where a lot of the money is going against. So marketers have ROI insecurities about whether certain marketing events are paying out, and they're also looking to retool. One of the nice things about the online advertising space is it does provide marketers with greater agility and flexibility to retool the campaign based on early reads on data. And what's great about CGM is that you can, in fact, get a real-time read on the conversational flow. And that read can really help to instruct a lot of critical decisions about everything from which keywords do I need to buy on Google to do I need to retool the messaging with my particular ad campaign, do I need to hold back on certain ad claims, because oftentimes consumers will revolt if they think that there is a gap between product promise and ad positioning. And retooling the website, for example, most brands completely miscalculate the way they should build their website, and we try to help them match the DNA of conversation related to their brand with what they present on the website. So, for example, we may find a whole bunch of conversation about a brand, go immediately to their FAQ or search engine, type those issues in, and most of the time the brands fire back blanks. So the key is, how do you make your website or even your blog conversationally conversant with the nature of that external conversation? Marketers do a lot of guessing. They tend to often use research methodologies, which aren't always on the mark in terms of being in touch with the way consumers really think, and you're using this as basically a blueprint or a radar for staying very, very much in sync. And at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, driving more efficiency and saving, saving money, really getting an early read on this.
So you mentioned auto and healthcare. Who's really doing this the best, you think, in the country so far? I realize you're going to be promoting possibly one of your own clients, but who's got it down best?
Well, I think everyone in the auto industry is really making meaningful headway. It really depends on what lens you look through. I mean, we work with all the major auto manufacturers, save Chrysler. Or Daimler Chrysler, and I think, boy, what I like about GM, boy, they are really pushing the envelope on trying to figure out how to engage consumer conversation. I think what they're doing with the blogs is very powerful, not only from a messaging perspective and a reach. I think what they're doing with their blog is fundamentally disrupting the organization from a, we need to become more agile and flexible, and at a time when, there are elements of their business that are, have some, how shall I put it, diplomatic, have opportunities. I think that they are leveraging the blog platform to kind of reinvent the way they dialogue with consumers, and I think that's really powerful, and obviously the CGM data is important into that mix. GM is also experimenting with trying to incorporate consumer CGM into the advertising mix. Ford is very attentive to the, what's being said about new product launch in order to get it right, and I think that's kind of a very progressive approach to marketing. I mean, one thing I haven't mentioned, and I won't cite brands specifically except to say that, one other area where you demonstrate a lot of ROI is that there are a lot of safety or quality issues, or sometimes there's rumors associated with a high-involvement product where the rumors can find a tipping point very, very quickly, and you really do need to nip that in the bud early on, and especially if it's incorrect and it merits clarification. That's where you really need to figure out who's talking about it and then figure out tactics to then, better communicate the right story to them. And I think across the board, the auto industry in particular is getting good at that. Electronics is very sensitive to that as well. I think early adopters, early social connectors disproportionately shape the landscape in that particular category. Think about all of us that read CNET reviews, or go to the new Google Tech site to kind of read reviews. I mean, we're in that particular category, we're you know, to some extent, the advertising is really just a stimulus for consumers to do extra due diligence. And then it's that extra due diligence where they're tapping into other consumers' experience that really has a very, very powerful impact on purchase behavior.
So what's the future look like? How is this all going to pan out in, say, 3 years?
Well, I think consumer expression is going to continue to evolve and grow, and I think that marketers are going to, you know, certainly continue the march from nice to have to must have in terms of the importance of CGM monitoring into the overall mix. I think there's also something that's very important that's going to take place that will dramatically dial up the impact of CGM. We're going through a transformation of what I call consumer-generated media to CGM squared, or consumer-generated multimedia. And of course, we've heard all the buzzwords about podcasting, and you know, we're hearing a lot of stuff about video and photos, but it's real. And to some extent, the way consumers express themselves, especially in the context of brands or industries,
is moving up
to a higher order of impact. My training was at Procter & Gamble, where, you know, there was just no question that television advertising was effective because it touched emotions in a much more impactful way than other forms of advertising. You had time to do the side-by-side demo. You had benefit visualization elements. And I think to some extent that is happening now in the CGM space. Consumers are often writing reviews with documentation. The documentation could be in the form of a link. It could be in the form of a photo. We've even got consumers that are putting up video reviews online for others to see. And all of us on the marketing side, whether we're large companies or small companies, need to ask ourselves, you suddenly have, you know, TV clarity moving to the CGM space. Is that more impactful? Is it more believable? Is it more credible? And equally important, is it more permanent? And these are the areas where I think the CGM space will start to begin having a very, very important impact. And we're looking at all of this, and it certainly hasn't been easy to keep up with all these trends. The nice thing about being part of a larger entity that has been working at this for the last, 75 years, is that, you know, they've had a lot of practice, and we hope to, you know, leverage that expertise as we continue to absorb additional sources of consumer-generated media into our mix.
So what you mean by consumer-generated media squared is really using all of the media that exists, but then adding pictures to it, adding different kind of sound to it, or just kind of making it a lot bolder.
Yeah, we had focused so much when we first started. I had initially started a company called planetfeedback.com, which was based on consumers providing written feedback, you know, letters through the internet to companies. And then we merged with IntelliSeek, which was looking at Usenet news groups and other forums. And, you know, to some extent, it was largely a text-based exercise. And even then, it was very impactful for companies. But now you've got consumers notching up the documentation. And in fact, it got interesting because, you know, as consumers were loading up, you know, photos on, you know, Flickr and, you know, WebShots and all these other sites, you know, suddenly we started to see, you know, consumer commentary about automobiles where people were actually attaching photos that kind of documented, you know, a safety issue. And, you know, to other consumers, if you see something that's written in text coupled with, you know, some form of photo verification, you know, it just, again, it has a higher order of impact. And so my prediction is that CGM will continue to have a growing impact on purchase behavior, partly because it's becoming much more persuasive. And that's not to say, I don't want to over-romanticize this, that's not to say there isn't abuse, it's not to say there aren't shills in the marketplace, it's not to say there aren't consumers that don't know what they're talking about, or that there's, but even if you kind of, you know, even if you factor that in, collectively, you've got a new form of media. I mean, basically, the fastest growing media is that which consumers shape and share themselves. And that is what is really having one of the biggest impacts in the marketplace today.
So what can happen negatively to a company if they don't do all this? And this is, again, obviously looking to the future, and you hope that sort of every company you deal with is looking at the market as strategically as you're suggesting.
Well, that's a great question. Every company needs a defensive branding strategy, and I think we need to think as critically about the negative as we think about the positive. In fact, I came up with a term, I call it negative GRPs. I even think we need to hold advertising agencies, you know, and other stakeholders accountable for, you know, negative gross ratings point, which is like if a whole bunch of negative impressions are created about the brand because consumers didn't believe your ad campaigns or you pissed them off through intrusive advertising, that gets factored into the reward and compensation mix. And it's easier to do this now because, unlike offline word of mouth, CGM is highly quantifiable. I repeat, it's very quantifiable. Consumers are leaving a digital trail that you can begin to dissect. And what happens to brands that ignore this, I mean, think about Google. Think about brands that screw up on a particular issue. Google basically punishes them in perpetuity. Not just Google, but all the search engines.
Yeah, no kidding.
So think about, you know, there's an auto manufacturer who their agency did a fake blog. And all the other bloggers discovered it immediately. And now anytime you type in that auto manufacturer plus the word blog, it basically spits out all sorts of hostility about
right.
that brand.
Right.
That's a very difficult shelf space to change. Every brand should be sensitive to what appears on the shelf space of search results. And one of the fastest growing sources of indexable content is CGM. And this is in the organic middle, you know, straight down the fairway, you know, that shows up, and we all need to be sensitive about what perceptions are being established based on what shows up there. And so our bad deeds tend to be magnified. Our good deeds also tend to be magnified. I think the bad deeds are harder to erase. They generally kind of have a longer sustainability.
Yeah.
So I think every brand needs to have, you know, tactics in place. I think what's powerful about the blog movement is that it's not just that blogs in and of themselves are a big idea. I think there's a lot of hype about blogs, but I do think they are bringing a flexibility, agility, and rapid response type of thinking to the marketplace, where if a company does get in trouble, they can leverage their blogs and RSS to rapidly get the right message out.
Yeah,
it can also create headaches for them because the activist groups and others, you know, the second they put out news that activist groups want to attach, they get the RSS feeds, and they can often kind of pounce on the company, you know, faster than ever before. So it's not, but I think generally we all need to be thinking about how to manage in a much faster paced real-time environment.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. This has just been an enormously powerful interview and lots of information, and I bet we'll get some people wanting to contact you. So could you give the listeners your email? Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pete.blackshaw@buzzmetrics.com, and you can also go to nielsenbuzzmetrics.com to learn more about what we offer. And then I also have a personal blog, which should be pretty easy to remember. It's consumergeneratedmedia.com.
Yeah,
and I've actually have a listing of all the pieces of commentary I've written on this particular topic, from CGM squared to defensive branding. So you're more than welcome to peruse the shelf. And I would hope that you'd leave a comment as well, even criticism, which I always value.
Well, I hope so too. So thank you again. This has been Pete Blackshaw, who's Chief Marketing Officer of Nielsen Buzz Metrics. And again, Pete, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm
good luck with your podcast series.
Thank you very much.
Very exciting.
Good. Yeah, no, it's done very well so far. So I'm Jennifer Jones, and until next week, may all your voices you hear be marketing voices.